Good afternoon, Farm News, here on the Red River Farm Network on this Wednesday, August 15th. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. We start the broadcast with Harvest Hotline, brought to you by the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, and U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated. Inmar Consulting owner Mark Ramsey says harvest in northeastern North Dakota is progressing rapidly.
They're coming off fast. Very quickest harvest I can remember in a long time. Dry, very dry. I'm hearing a lot, even 11, 12% moisture is coming off, which that's real dry for wheat. Quality has been exceptional, and even I think yield-wise, it's better than we've been, you know, better than we anticipated for sure. I think right here in this basket area, how you can grow a crop of wheat on 4 inches of rain all summer is beyond me.
Ramsey says the region is short of rain. It's been short of rain all growing season.
All summer long, we haven't hardly had, like I said, it's, I think if you add up in some of the gauges around here, it's been 4 inches since we planted at the middle of May, you know, since May 1st.
Lankin, North Dakota farmer Dale Zarodka says harvest is rapidly moving along.
Everything is really coming along. You know, there's just no days where the combines aren't rolling, and we went up straight from barley harvest to wheat harvest, and now there's guys going into the canola pretty hard, actually, around here already. We're just adding it up. We're just a hair over 6 inches of moisture since we put the crop in. So it's amazing that they've did as well as they have with the limited moisture that we've had on the early season crops anyway.
Zarodka says his barley crop was very good, but the wheat struggled.
Yeah, the barley was a very good crop again. You know, some tremendous numbers. The grades were all extremely good. The plumps are there and the proteins were low. So that's the big part of the barley is making it make grade. We have a average wheat crop. We don't grow a lot of wheat, but I hear some tremendous yields around the country, but it's always somebody else further away. But again, with 6 inches, we didn't fare real well. But I think overall the wheat is good and good proteins and, you know, some tremendous test weights on it. And so it's a quality crop that's coming off fairly easy.
Oklahoma-based custom harvester Greg Thurman will finish harvesting wheat in the Mobridge, South Dakota area today. Yields range from 40 to 60 bushels per acre. Thurman says there is some disease popping up in the eastern half of the state.
It was bad around Falcon. Falcon's about, 60, 70 miles east of Oneida, and we didn't have any problem with it over here at Oneida in the Gettysburg country. But then when we got west of the Missouri River, it was pretty good out there, between Eagle Butte and Mobridge South. Pretty good crop out there on the other side of the river, which is just the opposite of what normal is.
Thurman's next harvest stop is North Dakota, saying he hasn't heard of a bad crop in the state yet. However, the harvest pattern is reversed, starting in the north and moving south.
I don't know. I was at Bowman, North Dakota the other day, and they got a really nice crop out there. I just haven't seen any bad crop really in the state of North Dakota. When you're out at Bowman, Edgar, Mott region, and it's green, you know, and there's talking Langdon already harvesting, and Hallock, Minnesota's already harvesting, and you know, I got friends in Hallock, Minnesota, and they say they'll be done by the weekend, and we haven't even got started back to the west, so it's kind of a different year, I guess. Every year is different, but they're getting really strange anymore.
Based in Ada, Minnesota, West Central Ag Services sales agronomist Mike Nelson says it's been a good harvest so far. However, there's been some variability in the spring wheat crop. Quality and protein content are strong.
Obviously, with the little later planting and the warm season that we had, and I think there was some scab out there. So performance with the fungicide probably definitely enhanced things and helped things out. But a lot of the grain's dry, but definitely a little on the tougher side, some of the crop, you know, for combining right now. We did keep our qualities really good. Proteins are pretty strong in general. Still some lower protein on fields where the yields were higher than expected.
As farmers stay busy in the combine, Nelson reminds them to control post-harvest weeds.
Watch out for these fields that are going to be sugar beets next year. You know, our weed control for controlling, you know, water hemp and other resistant weeds is challenging in sugar beets. So, you know, be aware of what's out there. If your fields are really green after combining or during combining, you know, maybe it's a good idea to come out there, take a look at stuff, and you know, identify what kind of weed problems we have, whether a burn down afterwards here would be a good option or even before.
Harvest Hotline brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the North Dakota Mill.
Ergot is being found in harvested wheat in parts of North Dakota. Jamestown farmer Terry Wanzik finished harvesting wheat on Monday. He found ergot in some of his wheat, and the crop was rejected at the elevator.
You know, I think we'll be able to clean it out. It's pretty much, from what I've heard, there's very few loads being dumped at the elevator. They're getting rejected. Talked to friends from Bismarck. Uh-huh. I've talked to friends from Willow City. I've talked to some friends up like Carrington, and I've heard there's some ergot there.
Wanzik said they did everything they could to prevent fungal disease.
We planted registered, you know, first-generation seed, and then we also treated our seed, you know, for fungal diseases and things like that. So I don't know if that has any effect on it or what you can do. It's maybe one of those things that you just kind of hope and pray conditions are right that are not conducive to its propagation, you know.
NDSU Extension cereal plant pathologist Andrew Friskop confirms there are reports of ergot in North Dakota wheat crop from Carrington to Wishick and west towards Bismarck. Friskop says the disease prefers wet, cool weather.
Right before flowering. So when you think of a kind of a parallel pathogen to it, it's very similar to scab, but it just has an infection point that's sooner in the flowering process, but also with cooler conditions. So my gut instinct is although maybe some of the main stems avoided some of the infections, some of the tillers is likely what may have gotten some of the ergot bodies starting to show up.
Friskop recommends farmers scout for ergot in the outer edge of fields. Look for irregular black structures that have replaced wheat kernels. Ergot bodies can also fall into the soil and grassy weeds at harvest surviving over winter. You're in tune with the Red River Farm Network. Good afternoon, Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota's primary race wrapped up Tuesday with one surprise of former Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty's loss to Jeff Johnson. The Cook Political Report House Editor David Wasserman reflects on more results from Minnesota's primary race.
Democrat Tim Walz, a congressman from southern Minnesota, prevailed on the Democratic side in part because his opposition was split between two women who had some regional appeal. Lori Swanson won a lot of the Iron Range in northern Minnesota. Aaron Murphy carried some areas in the Twin Cities. But Walz was strong in a lot of the state. And this really should give Democrats the advantage in that governor's race heading into the fall.
Wasserman says strong agriculture support could be helpful to Walz, but it can be pretty hard for a party to hold on to a governor's mansion for more than several terms. Senator Tina Smith and Karen Housley are top contenders in the primary special election for Senate. Keith Ellison and Doug Wardlow are top contenders for Attorney General. Wasserman thinks across the country there could be a split decision in November.
The House is coming down to swing suburban seats where Republicans are on defense, and the Senate's coming down to red rural states where Republicans are on defense. And you know, Minnesota and North Dakota are prime examples of that. Democrats have excellent opportunities to win two Republican-held seats in suburbs of Minneapolis and south of the Twin Cities, but Democrats are at risk of losing a Senate seat in North Dakota. Could be headed for a Republican Senate that be in line to confirm President's picks for judicial posts and his revolving door of a cabinet, but a Democratic House, which would have subpoena power to investigate the executive branch.
Acting Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Andrew Wheeler met with agriculturalists in Iowa yesterday to discuss ethanol. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley attended the meeting and tells reporters Wheeler answered questions.
Only one thing you can say for certain, that the idea that Pruitt had and the refineries were pushing to have RINs apply to exports, that's not on the table. There seems to be a real message from the White House to Wheeler to do something for E15 12 months out of the year, but there has to be something also done for refineries. So I think Wheeler is trying to find some balance.
Grassley says Wheeler addressed E15 use year-round.
The problem for E15 12 months out of the year comes next June, and he wants to get it done a long time before next season. I don't know whether I can say he specifically said it, but I think it's a conclusion I can draw.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the Midwest should be wet and cool for the remainder of August.
We are expecting below normal temperatures across virtually all of the plains and much of the Midwest, as well as the Mid-South. The hot weather will be confined to the edges of the country, generally the far west, the northeast, and areas along the Atlantic seaboard stretching along the Gulf Coast. Now getting back to the rainfall pattern, we're expecting near or above normal rainfall nationwide, except for just a few small areas, one being the Pacific Northwest, parts of the Northern Plains, and then southern sections of Texas and Florida.
Dry conditions across the Northern Plains continue to impact forage availability for livestock producers. However, timely rains have kept grasses growing in areas recovering from the 2017 drought. Christy Waranga ranches south of Jamestown at Adrian, North Dakota. Last year, she ran out of grass in pastures, and this year, the area has received enough moisture to keep grass growing.
We had our cattle in our farmyard because we just were searching for whatever they could eat. And so this year, we sell graze. We give them each a portion of time and then move them so they don't get the entire pasture all at once. And we have a pasture they haven't even touched yet this year. So it has been a very good year for grass for us. We've gotten enough moisture to keep the grass growing and to allow the cows to stay a little longer on each section.
The Department of Energy's weekly petroleum report shows ethanol production for the week that ended August 10th down 27,000 barrels per day from the previous week at 1.07 million barrels per day. Ethanol stocks rose 100,000 barrels to 23 million. Just a reminder, the Red River Farm Network is hosting seminars daily at the Big Iron Farm Show. The Big Iron Farm Show, September 11th through the 13th in West Fargo. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. RCAF USA is asking for an expanded injunction against state beef checkoff programs. The organization wants to expand the injunction between Montana to include a halt to checkoff funds in 13 additional states. RCAF CEO Bill Bullard says Montana's beef checkoff program must seek consent from each individual producer to hold money by the state organization.
It gives them the choice of where their money will go. If they are satisfied with the promotion and research activities of the Montana Beef Council, they can continue sending their money there. But if they're not satisfied, they have the choice to send a very compelling message, and that is, we're not satisfied with the performance, and it has to be better. You know, that's what our free enterprise system is all about. So we're in full support of a voluntary checkoff program, which is now in effect in Montana.
South Dakota is included on the list of 13 states in the litigation. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says they'll buy $50 million worth of fluid milk for distribution at food assistance programs across the country. The agency used Section 32 funds for the purchase. It's a separate action from USDA's aid package to help farmers in trade uncertainty. In a statement, National Milk Producers Federation President and CEO Jim Mulhern says he's hopeful the USDA moves quickly to get aid package resources to the hands of dairy farmers this fall.
The North Dakota Department of Agriculture will host an industrial hemp field day on Saturday, August 18th at Elgin. Attendees will have a chance to look at hemp fields, learn more about production, and ask questions. The event will be held at the Clarence Lobb Farm, which focuses on research of fertilizer treatments, field techniques, and marketing of food-grade products.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. September Minneapolis wheat down 12 and a quarter at 584. September Chicago wheat down 9 and a quarter at 532 and a half. September Kansas City wheat down 9. September corn down 1 at 361 and a quarter. December corn down 3 quarters at 375 and 3 quarters. September beans down 9 and a half at 858, rather 859. November beans down 9 and a quarter at 870 and a half. In livestock markets, October live cattle up 30 cents at 109.02. November feeder cattle up 27 cents at 149.52. October lean hogs up 37 cents at 52.22. Taking a look at the farm calendar. Starting today, the North American Manure Expo underway in Brookings, South Dakota, and an AgriGrowth regional meeting underway in Fargo tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.